merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Let's look up, shall we? Because thanks, Tim, you can have a sit down. I was standing there wondering when he should sit. Just a very short little story this morning from the Bible. It's one of my favourites, actually. What's our theme again? Ah, thanks very much. It's been so long since I started, doesn't it? God, dear, it has. Now, listen. Okay, Haz. It's great to have ambition. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, it's lovely to have ambition. It's great. And there was a guy in Jesus' time, and he was ambitious because he wanted to be a leader of the then church, which was called the synagogue, you see. He wanted to be their leader. And his name was Jairus. And Jairus, you know, it was quite an important position because it wasn't just a church leader. He served, he was in charge of what went on in the services, but he also served as a local magistrate. He was an educated man. It was much, much more than being just a church leader. Well, we church leaders, we don't need to be educated, do we? Anyway, you know what I mean? But he had to do a lot more than just leading a congregation. That was his job, man of high influence. Do you know, he got it. He got the job that he always wanted. He was so excited. But as so happens so often, as so grown-ups here know, when you get a bit of good news, it's sometimes followed with some bad news. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes. And he had a little girl, and she was 12 years old, and she was pretty ill. He'd taken her to all the medics of the day, took the medics, and they looked at her, and they said, look, I'm sorry, Jairus, there's nothing we can do for your little girl. She's so seriously ill. And so he thought, well what can I do? And then he turned around and said, well, look, to be honest, Jairus, she's so ill, she's going to die. And now Jairus just achieves all he wants in becoming a leader of the synagogue, but is losing one of his most precious possessions at the same time, his little girl. He had a choice. He'd heard there was a person called Jesus who was travelling around. Now, Jesus was already classed as a lawbreaker, which actually means he was banned from many synagogues. So Jairus had just got this job, and now he's going to put his job on the line because he was going to find Jesus. And if he went and found Jesus, it's a chance he'd lose his job as a synagogue leader. Because Jesus, I say, wasn't accepted in synagogues. His little girl was far more important than his career, his job, or whatever course he was. And anyway, he went, he moved in the crowds, he heard where Jesus was, and he went. Now, Jesus was with his friends, a few of them, and they were, you know, crowds and crowds and crowds of people pushing and shoving them all over the place. And Jesus was going through, and Jairus pushed his way through. Jesus, excuse me. Yeah? And Jesus would immediately recognize who he was and where he came from by the way he was dressed. And he fell down on his knees in front. Jesus, my little girl, she's dying. Please, quickly, time is running. He didn't have a watch, but time is running out. We've got to get there quickly. And Jesus looked and he said, yeah, it's taken you a lot to get here. It's taken you a lot to see me. Of course. The crowd was still pushing and shoving. There was a lady in the crowd. She had internal bleeding. She wasn't going to die, but she'd spent all her money with the medics who couldn't do anything. So she was very poor. But she pushed through the crowd and thought, if I can just touch Jesus' clothes, if I can just touch them, I'm going to be healed. That's great faith. So she pushed through the crowd and she touched Jesus' clothes. And she knew the blood had stopped running inside her. She knew she'd been healed. And Jesus stopped. Whoa. Somebody's touched me. And you can imagine it's probably Peter. Oh, what do you think, Lord? They're shoving us all over the place here. Well, they've touched you. They're pushing me as well. Look, I'm all over the place. No. Somebody's touched me. And I felt power go from me. And you can imagine Father Jairus. Oh, Jesus, it doesn't matter who's touched you. My little girl's dying. We're going to run out of time. She's going to be gone and it'll be too late. Please, we've got to move on. He was a loving dad. He'd have been thinking this. Oh, Jesus was never going to be rushed. And this lady came forward. Excuse me, it was me. And Joshua looked at she's lived a lot of her life. My little girl's only 12. She's had 12 years on earth. She's lived a lot of her life. And Lord, please, can we get, who? It doesn't matter. She's healed. Let's move on. And Jesus said, that's great faith. That's great faith. And then somebody else pushed through the crowd. One of Jairus' household. Jairus! Yeah? Too late. What do you mean? Little girl's dead. Jesus was too slow. He never got here in time. And you can imagine Jairus giving up everything. He would have been collapsing inside. And she's, oh, Jairus, hold on. It's going to be okay. Wait and see. It's going to be all right. And then they made their way to Jairus' house, Peter, James, and John, and Jairus. And they go through there, and they get outside. There's the professional mourners. Now, people were paid to wail outside of a bereaved house. That's what they did. They were paid. They could play instruments. They played sad instruments, flutes and stuff. But they, what they do is not only they'd be wailing and yelling, and they were ladies, yelling and wailing, well, whatever the word is. And then they were wailing and yelling the right way around. But also, they'd shout out names of recently bereaved. So what happens? Well, everybody else would then start crying. Oh, that's my little boy who died. Oh, no. And it brings back all the tragic memories that they recently suffered in that village, in that area. It was very emotive and very wicked, really. Jesus arrived, said, whoa, he said, stop all that noise. Stop all that noise. And they said, and he said, listen, the little girl, she isn't dead. She's just sleeping. And then suddenly, you see, these would have been in the house, the ladies. And they said, what does he know? We've seen the body. He's just arrived. And you can imagine, then they start laughing and mocking Jesus. We're talking rubbish. Of course she's dead. We've been in, we've seen her, she's dead. Jesus ignored them. And he went in the house, and there he met Mrs. Jairus. There's Mrs. Jairus, Mr. Jairus, and Peter, James, and John. And they stood looking. And you can imagine them looking at this little girl lying there. The disciples thinking, she doesn't look like she's asleep. She's got pale skin. Her heart's not beating. She's not breathing. You know, there's no blood running around her body. Jesus, are you sure she's asleep? You can imagine, it's a human. It's what we'd have thought if we'd been standing there, as, like Peter, James, and John. And Jesus went up. And do you remember I said about hands? Because now Jesus reached out his hand, the little girl, and just held it. And then he said some strange words. He said, Talitha kum. And he said these words, Talitha kum, which simply means, little maid, arise. They're watching. They're watching. Boom, boom, boom. Her heart starts beating. Her eyes start flickering. She starts breathing as she sits up. And you can imagine them staring, the disciples. They'd never seen anything like this in their life before. And they're looking at this little girl. And, you know, it's amazing because Mark's gospel is really the gospel of Peter. Okay, Peter told John Mark what to write. And so you can imagine, because suddenly we have the Hebrew, the Greek Bible all written and so on. And then we have these little Aramaic words, Talitha kum, stuck in the middle of the text out of nowhere. There's suddenly this little bit of Aramaic. Why? I'll tell you why. Because there is no way Peter, as was explaining this story to John Mark, explaining this story, would ever think of anything else but Talitha kum, little maid, arise. So that's why in our text we actually have the Aramaic amongst all the Greek. He'd never have forgotten it. And then, of course, you know, suddenly little everybody's now rejoicing and happy. And then the most odd thing happens, really. Because Jesus turns around and he says, right, he said, now, go and give the little girl something to eat. Oh, come on, Lord. You just brought someone back from the dead. Surely you could have brought them back with a full belly. That seems, that seems the easiest thing to do, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you've done all the hard stuff, for goodness sake, you know. But there was a reason. There's two reasons, actually, I reckon. One reason is, don't forget, the people of the day were very, very superstitious. And they would have thought it was a ghost. Simple as that. You know, they really believed in ghosts and all this sort of stuff. And so they would have thought, if they saw a little girl, it was the ghost. It was her spirit. It wasn't her, even though they could see the physical. Ghosts don't eat food. Give her something to eat. She can eat. And they can all see she's human. She's back. She's alive. And there's one other thing, I think. And I'm making this up now. But, you know, every child has a favorite food. And Jesus was simply saying this, look, it's a celebration now. You know, go and give your little girl something she really likes to eat. Go and have a party. Go and celebrate. If she likes ice cream, give her ice cream. If she likes, you know, kebabs, give her a kebab. I don't mind. But, you know, give her something she really enjoys, because you are celebrating. And it's wonderful. As I finish my story, let's just start with this hands. You see, there was the lady who was bleeding inside. She reached out to God. She was able to. And I want to say to all of you here, if you're a believer, you have to learn to reach out to God yourself. Do you know what I mean? So often we say, I'm going to visit. We got a visiting healer, or go and see the pastor, go and see somebody. You know, sometimes Luke said, I want your faith to be built up. It's not just your faith. No, you learn to reach out direct to me. You don't need to go through the Pope. You don't need to go through your pastor. You don't need to go through anybody. Come straight to Jesus and reach out yourself. So when you think about it, that's what God's saying to some of us this morning, reach out. But then there was Jairus' daughter. She couldn't reach out to anybody. She was dead. And sometimes, you know, it's for us to be the hands of Jesus and reach out to others. There's people, do you know, people who are depressed. They can't reach out to Jesus. Depression takes that away. And we have to reach out to them. There's the unsaved. They find it, they can't reach out to Jesus. They don't know him yet. We have to reach out to them. Some little children don't quite understand what's going on. So we have to reach out to them. We have to be the hands of Jesus as well. So let me finish our story. For some of us, we have to learn much, much more, not to rely on other people, but to go direct to Jesus. By all means, let people pray for you, but your faith needs to be built up as well. Secondly, there's those who can't do that, you know, and we have to be the hands, Lord, reach out and pray for them. It's so, so important. Lord, help us hold this in our hearts, and Lord, hang on to that which is important. Forget that which isn't, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.